Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to each and every one. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I trust you had a glorious weekend. I did. I thank and praise the Lord for on Sunday, it was my birthday. And I thank and praise the Lord we turned 68. And I thank and praise the Lord for all of those that text me. Thank God for everybody compliment and texting and the ones I was able to be with fresh anointed in Langston with Apostle Murray and Bishop Murray. I thank and praise the Lord for my church family there and, you know, some of my spiritual children. I was able to see them and all that I did. They Facebook. They sent compliments, and I thank and praise the Lord for those that honor me for who I am in Christ Jesus. I thank and praise the Lord for my children. I thank and praise the Lord. My son came down on last Sunday and spent Sunday and Monday with me. He is the campus pastor, him and his wife, in Newport, Virginia. And they celebrate my birthday with me. And then on yesterday evening after I got through ministry, my daughter and my son-in-law, my granddaughter, we spent the rest of the evening together. So I just thank and praise the Lord for seeing 68. God truly been good to us. I thank and praise the Lord for his grace and mercy. You know, I'm serious. I'm not saying just to be saying it, but I truly thank and praise the Lord for his grace and mercy. You know, unless the Lord open up our spiritual eyes, we will not see things from God's perspective. And when I say grace and mercy, God has been merciful and God has been patient with me, you know. When the more my eyes come open to see how merciful, you know, only God can expose what's in your heart, you know. Because sometimes you can think you're just going right and you're doing the right things and God will show you something in your heart. And, you know, the Bible tells us to be merciful and be forgiven as God done forgave us and God been merciful to us. And I find out the more my spiritual eyes come open and see the mercy of God, not only through the scripture, but, you know, in my own personal life, it really helped me when it come down to being critical of other people or judging other people. You'll be slow to speak. You know, the Bible tells us, I think it's in James, be slow to speak and swift to hear. But I think that really comes through experience. The more that we grow in the things of God and our maturity and we see things the way God said, it really makes a difference. But I truly think, again, I thank God for everybody that remember us on our birthday. And I just thank God for everything. I thank God for Apostle Armstrong for the broadcast, that this a door that God opened for us that we can minister and share the message that God give us. I thank and praise the Lord for it. I truly do. We've been talking. We did a series on the fear of the Lord, and I'm telling you, it helped me a lot. It really did, because as I stated, the fear of the Lord is not in some people's life and in some of the body of Christ like it used to be. I find that on this journey, if you don't stay connected to the Lord, I think it's in John the 8th chapter where Jesus told us, if you continue in me, you would know the truth and it would make you free. Well, we have to continue in our relationship with the Lord in order to fulfill our God-given purpose to be successful, to prosper, and to really endure. I've been listening at some teaching on developing your spirit. And I might do some, we might do a little bit of teaching on that because, you know, as a prophet, I'm a prophet and I walk in the prophetic. But, you know, as being a prophet, I'm finding out a lot of people have a they don't have a true understanding of the prophetic, you know. They want somebody to prophesize to them. They want somebody to tell them what the Lord say. Prophets don't just prophesy. We are intercessors. We are teachers of the word of God because we need it, just like other people. We point people to God. But so many people, like I said, some people they don't misunderstand what a true prophet of God is. We is prophet in the New Testament. We don't operate in the prophets in the Old Testament because the prophets in the Old Testament, at that time, the Holy Spirit had showed up on the earth that each individual could receive him. So back then, people had to go inquire of the prophet to see what God was saying. And even today, I look at, and I say this so many times, a lot of people look at a Christian as a luxury. They look at the office, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor. Y'all, it's not luxury. Not in my eyes. Maybe I might be doing something wrong, but I don't think so. Because when I look at the prophet, like I said, we don't operate the same way that they did. Yet we still a mouthpiece of God. Hear me good. And back then it was false prophets and it were true prophets. But the true prophets suffered greatly. They was, a lot of them were persecuted. I mean, you know, it was sad, the things that they had to experience from people as well as some of the crooked kings, you know. And so there too, again, as I stated, you know, prophets are also intercessors and teachers, you know. Jesus never said in the new covenant, in the kingdom, we are now in the kingdom of God. We're in the dispensation of Christ. We're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus set a prime example, not only for the disciples and the people back then, but for us as well today, you know. And he never told us to live by prophecy alone. Paul told Timothy that you have to do warfare for prophecy. And there too, again, most prophecies that I know, they are conditioned, and you have to do warfare. You have to know how to resist the enemy when he try to come and steal that prophecy. And you know how, you have to know how to conduct yourself and behave yourself in the midst of adversity, in the midst of trials. But as I stated, we just thank and praise again. I thank God for Apostle Armstrong and the Lord for this space, this time that we have. We started on the 15th. We talked about in Hebrews, the second chapter, and we're going to go back to that. You know, I don't know about you. A lot of people got a lot of prophecy, and most of the time in the beginning of the year, people go on consecration. People fast and pray and seek God for instructions. And that is a good thing. But there, too, we have to realize what come with that. We have to realize what come with that. And as I stated, we're going to give you a little bit of what God gave the people's on yesterday. If you have your Bible, again, we're going to go to our foundation scripture. And I want you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the second chapter. We're going to try to get in there a little bit more. Because, you know, I'm finding out the Bible tells us that we have to suffer. And I'm kind of quoting some things. Suffering is one of the most difficult things to understand in life and in Christianity. Well, yeah, I go right into it. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to pause and pray over the air. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we said thank you for this day, and we just give you praise. We give you honor for it. I thank you right now for this opportunity. I plead the blood of Jesus against the prince of the air. I plead the blood of Jesus against any detraction and interfere as the broadcast go forward. I pray for those, Father, that have tuned in to the broadcast. I bind up every religion, tradition, thoughts. I pray, Father, that you will bring accurate clarity to each and everyone that have tuned in. I pray that you will bring enlightenment and understanding to those that have tuned in to the broadcast. We thank you, we bless you, and we praise you for it right now in Jesus' name. I was reading in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, how his God will, for God want us to know him. In my devotion this morning, I was in something in Exodus 33, and I was also in the 139 division of Psalms, and we were studying it. It got some awesome stuff. It talked about God omnipresent, God knowing everything and all of that, and how God know us, you know. But like I said, let me stick with this today, but I tell you, we serve an awesome Father. God is, he is God of the, he the creator of all mankind, but I thank and praise the Lord. He is my Father, and daily I'm getting acquainted with him. You know, the Bible said the children of Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses, the Bible said Moses know the ways of God, you know. I want to know the Lord. I really do. But Paul made this thing plain. He said, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection. And knowing him like that, it called for a great sacrifice. Paul even said it. He said, I present you, brother, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And we is the one that have to present our body as a living sacrifice. As the time draw nigh, as for Jesus to come, it's a lot of suffering, a lot of things we as born-again believers going to experience on this earth. But in Hebrews 2:1, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Do I have my Living Bible in here? Yes, I'm going to read it from my Living Bible. We're going to go to Hebrews, this second chapter in that first verse. Like I said, we're reading from that. And there too again, this is that we need to really pay earnest to what we hear. You know, God is speaking. Now, a lot of people say, Prophet Miller, God is not talking. Yes, he is. God is speaking. But the thing about it is we listen and hear the Lord. The Lord is really speaking, but are we hearing him? Are we pulling away from our busy schedule? Are we preparing ourselves to hear God? Okay, in Hebrews, the second chapter, the first, I'm going to read the first four verses. It says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Listen, and it is possible that if we don't truly take in and really listen to what God say and meditate on it, it's possible that we can drift away from it. Because there's so many things, as I stated before, that is trying to get our attention. I mean, you know, you ever done just tried to still listen at the Lord, and before you know, you done drift off to sleep or the phone rang or something like that. I had to find out in life, you have to just make some time, and you have to set aside some time, and you have to get your body in on it. Because a lot of times, you know, flesh don't want to hear God, you know. And for the most of when anybody start talking about denying yourself, a lot of people don't want to hear that. But he says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard of. We may drift away from it. The message God delivered through angels have always proved true, and the people were punished for every violation of the law and every act of disobedience. What makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation that was announced by the Lord Jesus himself? It was passed on to us by those who heard him speak, and God verified the message by signs and wonder and various miracles and by giving gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chooses to do so. But right here, he let us know we need to be serious and about what is said. We need to pay close attention. And the Bible said, how can they hear without a preacher? So, you know, when we go to church on Sunday, we need to know it's just not somewhere we're going. You know, we're going to fellowship, but for most of it, when it comes down to that message, we ought to come prepared to hear what the Spirit is saying. We ought to come with great expectation. I don't know about nobody else, but when I go into service, I always ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear what you got to say to me. And God, help me to hear you. And I always go to hear. I'm not so much going to look at the edifice. I'm not going so much and look at who in the service and how they dress and all of that. But my mind is, I want to hear what the Lord is saying to me. I go with expectation. I pray, God, help me. I want to hear today. I want to hear. I ain't going in there just to be going, you know, because even sometimes I can recall when I first started going to church and I was under the leadership of Apostle Ida Bell Parker, and she was one that I haven't met anyone like her. She was one, she was a lover of the Word of God. She taught the Word. And any time she addressed you about anything, it was all about what was written. She always views things from God's perspective. She wasn't one that just run off at the mouth. She was slow to speak and quick to hear. And I thank God for the late Apostle Ida Bell Parker, the late Bishop Bourne, some of these peoples that God put in my past in the beginning to help me in the things of God. I thank God for leaders like that. Then just wasn't just a hearer of the word, but she was a doer. She was an example. And like I said, I thank God for people that God have put in my past to help me. Come on, somebody. You know, some people is in your life for a season, and then some people for a long period of time. But whatever God placed them there, you need to honor them and trust the God in them. Yeah, we got some faults and we got some people do things, but y'all listen, the more we grow in the knowledge of God and get understanding, that the gift of discernment will help us to be able to discern. But the most needful thing is be a student of the word. Get in that word and read it for yourself this way. Don't just depend on other people to do all your reading, all your research for you. Don't just sit around and wait on somebody to do all your studying, all your praying for it. The Bible, and God made this thing on the individual level, and Apostle Paul said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Did you hear what I said? He said, let every man work out his own soul salvation. And you know, like I said, I'm kind of quoting some things. Suffering is one of the most difficult things to understand in life. And in Christianity, we know that God is good, and we know that he sees everything and is all-powerful. But why does he allow us to suffer, especially unjustly? And there, too, again, God allow, and I'm using the word allow, because God can do anything. But there, too, again, it's something about suffering. When I go through the Old Testament, everybody that was called of God, they experienced some kind of suffering. They had to endure suffering. It wasn't an easy journey, but in their process, God was molding and making them and preparing them for what he had, according to his God, that God gave them purpose. God was preparing them. You know, I often talk to my granddaughter and sometimes my grandchildren, and I say a lot of time, I say, I don't mean no harm. I said, some of y'all, the way we was raised and what we had to endure, I say this, and I don't try to be little young people, but I believe that, well, my parents, they prepared us for hard times. You know, my daddy taught us and mom taught us how to endure. They taught us how to be grateful and thankful for what we had. My daddy, one thing about my dad, he bought us nice clothes, but he wasn't up with the new stuff. You know, you go to school, and they got something new, but God didn't, I mean, you would go to school with some shirt hat on, name brand stuff and all of that. My daddy wasn't into all of that, but he made sure he bought us the best. But daddy wasn't into all of this fashion stuff, you know. You go to school and say, see certain children with different things on, you say, I want that. But my daddy didn't do that for us. My daddy did not do that for us, you know. So there, too, again, I had to learn some things, but they taught us how to endure. Amen? And that's what I thank God for. I thank God for my parents, what they taught us, how to endure, to take care of what you had, you know. You know, to be grateful and thankful for what the Lord gave us. Amen. But I want to go on with this because, like I said, the Bible even tells them, we're going to drop down to that in first, we're going to First Peter, the second chapter. Well, let's go to First Peter, the second chapter. And Paul, not Paul, but Peter talk about, he don't only talk about false teachers and stuff, but he talk about how we is supposed to endure suffering. Come on, somebody. He talk about it. In First Peter, first chapter, he talk about in that sixth verse, I'm reading from the King James Version, he said, wherein ye are greatly rejoiced through now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through mindful temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, ye believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable in the full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And see, there too again, And I say this, I thank God for Apostle Peter. If anybody could talk about suffering and how to recognize and how to endure, as you know, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. But Peter, his personality, he was very outspoken. And I really think sometimes Peter would belittle the other disciples. You know, when Jesus would tell me how they were going to deny, he said, no, not me. It was like Peter, I paraphrase, it was like Peter said, the rest of them are going to deny you, but not me. But the Bible even talk about God allowed them to put it in print, put it in writing, that when Peter denied Jesus, Jesus told him he was going to deny him three times. And Peter did that, you know. And even with something I learned about suffering, when we experience in trials and tribulation, even temptation, you will find out what's really in your heart. You can say a lot of things. We can say a lot of things. But when the pressure hits, that's when you really find out how much of this word of God that you not only digest, but you don't meditate on it, and you made up in your mind you're going to be a doer of this word. Okay? Now, like I said, we're going to, I was just reading that in First Peter, but like I said, Peter was talking about suffering. He was talking about the type of behavior, the way we supposed to conduct ourselves when we suffering. I'm gonna go to that second. Well, we're going to stay in the First Peter, the first chapter. Let's look at that 13th verse. I'm going to be reading from the King James as well as, I said, the Living Bible, because I'm finding out hard time is here. And we as born-again believers, we need to know how to conduct ourselves. Now, some people might say, Prophet Miller, what you talking about, they should already be doing that. I agree with you. But have you, and let's talk about you. Let's don't so much talk about some people. For example, see, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether or not we have faith or not. Have you ever observed yourself when the heat on, or when you going through trials, and when you being persecuted, or you being afflicted, or when you got to wait on God? Have you really just sit back and observe and judge yourself according to the word to see how you respond to it. Come on. Now, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, we drop down. Let's drop down to the 13th verse. I'm going to get over there to the second chapter. He said, wherefore, girdle up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, now fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now, a lot of times when we see that word lust, we want to think about fornicating or sexual sin, but that ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about our flesh. Our flesh lusts against things that is contrary to what God's word say. Flesh want to do what it want when it want. Flesh have a mind of its own. It want to rebel against the things of God. You ever been sitting around and the thought come to you, you need to read your Bible. And then you say, oh, I do it later. I don't want to do it. Yeah, I used to use the terminology, I'm going to have a flesh day today. What I meant, I wasn't going out there and sleep around with nobody, but I ain't going to read my Bible today. If I do read it, I might read maybe one chapter, but I just want to relax today and turn on my TV and watch a good cowboy movie. You know, something like that. I call that a flesh day, you know. And you have to even be, in what I'm saying, understand. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but even with that, we have to always be careful and guard ourselves, because the enemy of our soul, he always lurking around and trying to find a way. Come on, somebody. And as I said in the word, I'm finding out we have to make sure that we keep our spirit man strong. We, like I said, I'm not getting that, but we got to make sure we keep our spirit man strong and feed our spirit. And the way we feed our spirit is the word of God. The Bible tells us if you freak out in the time of adversity, your spirit man is weak. When we allow ourselves to get overwhelmed, that's an area that our spirit man is weak, and we have to feed our spirit man the word. We are spirit, soul, and we live in a body, okay? Like I said, now I'm going to go, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible, 1 Peter, the first chapter in that 13th verse. Let me go to it. 1 Peter, first chapter in the 13th verse. Okay, it says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's what I want. Because y'all, I'm telling you, it's here. Now, in that sixth verse, he tells us that we're gonna have the trial of our faith. And you know, I learned as long as you be a believer, your faith's going to be tested, okay? But like I said, I want to drop down. I'm going to go ahead and drop down to that 13th verse of where my Living Bible, because there too, again, we have to know when our faith is being tested, that'll show the strong in the purity of it, and it will purify us. So when adversity hit, we got to know how to endure it, how to respond to it. Okay, that 13th verse is, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessing that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. And in the time of suffering, in the time of adversity, pressure time, in the time, if we ain't careful, we can slip back into our old ways. I have seen some people experience difficult times. I try, and they'll tell me, Prophet, it was better for me when I was a sinner. No, it wasn't. The enemy wants you to believe that. It really, you might have enjoyed something, but the peace, if you sit down and think about it, the peace that you have now, I'm going to say for me, the peace that I have now, what God have done for me. To me, when I read my Bible and the Holy Spirit begin to talk to me and open up my understanding to what God is saying and the scripture be talking directly to me, I didn't have that experience. I didn't have that type of encounter with the Lord or with the Holy Spirit. And to me, I love when I'm reading and the Lord open up the scripture and it's like he's talking to me. Now, to me, that is amazing for me. I love it. I thank God for it, you know, and I praise him for it, you know. And that's why I said, but when pressure comes, a lot of times, if you weaken your spirit, if you one that haven't been meditating and studying the word and being a good one, you're going to want to go back. But we have to learn how to suffer. It used to be a song they used to sing it. I have learned how to suffer. I have learned how to live right. I have learned how to live holy. But all of that is a process. Okay? But it's just so think clearly and exercise self-control. Because I'm telling you, even with that, sometimes certain things happen in our life. And I found out part of my soul, I have emotions. You know, I have a personality. And I found out if you're not in control of your emotion, the emotion can take you to a place of no return. That's why sometimes people commit suicide. They don't have no control over their mind. They don't have no control of their emotion. They start meditating on what they don't have or what they can't do. And if they don't know how to control their emotion, you know, we used to use this terminology, they'll freak out. They'll find themselves saying and doing things that they wouldn't normally say or do. There too, again, we have to know how to use self-control. You know, the Bible said be slow to speak and quick to hear. A lot of times when you experience an adversity with other people, you ever done tried to, you know, talk about some or some come up and people misunderstand you. You got to know how to conduct yourself. You got to know how to, it's old saying, said, choose your words carefully. The Bible says, soft word, turn away wrath. Come on. Have you ever been accused of something and you know you weren't guilty? See, all of this gonna happen as born-again believer. We're gonna be persecuted. Jesus, you're gonna be persecuted for righteousness. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be talked about. People going to get behind your back. But we have to know as born-again believers how to conduct ourselves. Even now, we're in the time that they're calling on people to vote early, and we got different candidates that running for president. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It's some of the things that I hear people say. I'm talking about born-again believer. I'm sure it grieved God because it grieved me. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, it tells us to give thanks and pray for all of those in authority, all, A-L-L, all. Give thanks and pray for them in authority. It didn't say, don't give thanks. It didn't say go around and talk about them and blast them and belittle them. You know, I find out a lot of times, if we're not a student of the word, if we're not a lover of God first and a student of the word, we'll do it backwards. I told the Lord that one time. I said, Lord, look like I just do everything backwards. Come on now. Now, you know, if you listen at this message today, this is personal. This is for somebody that have a personal relationship with God. You see, Christianity is all about a relationship with us in our Creator, or better yet, a relationship with the Trinity. You see, Psalms 139 tell us that God search us out. Well, that was David talking. But David was talking about how he come to know that God know everything about him. God was the one that put him in his mother's womb. He talked about God have purpose for him. God already done planned his life out. And as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and get into it, we'll find us out. We really get acquainted with God through his word. Come on, somebody. And this is personal, you know. It's just like parents, you know. my children, father used to tell my son, and that son, if they hit you, you hit them back. He was teaching them how to protect yourself. He was saying, now don't go start no fight, but now you got to learn how to stand up for yourself and don't let nobody bully you. You know where I'm coming from? But he taught him that. So there too, again, as I say, we have to learn as born again believers how to suffer. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. And one thing about self don't like to be denied or mistreated. If you think that you being mistreated, you feel, well, I got to stand up for myself and I ain't going to let nobody do this. Now, the Bible said, vengeance belongs to the Lord and I pay. The Bible also said, who is it going to harm us when we are serving a God? Some things we as born again believe we have to endure. Yes, we do. Some things we just got to do like Jesus. We got to just be quiet and wait on the Lord and let the Lord fix it for us. Come on now. But anyway, he was saying, so think clear and exercise self-control. I'm still in that 13th verse. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, temperance. And God will have us to know how to control our emotion, control our mouth. One psalmist said, watch over my mouth, keep the doors to my lips, that I won't say anything that grieves you. Be slow to speak. You ever been trying to discuss something with someone and they get loud with you and you tempted to get loud back? Come on, somebody. But the Bible said that's the time you got to be slow to speak and whip to hear. The Bible tells us avoid all evil. Come on, somebody. But he's saying, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessing that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you are his children. Now, when it's easy to obey God when it's something we want to do and we consider it's convenient. But when it comes down to the inconvenient things, when we know that we've been mistreated and we know we didn't do nothing for it, and we want to defend ourselves, and God telling you to be quiet. See, that's what come in at. Well, honey, I don't know, but I ain't going to let nobody just talk to me any kind of way. And, you know, when I studied the life of Jesus in the four Gospels, Jesus was an amazing man. But Jesus know what it like to be close in flesh. He know all about our temptation. The Bible said he said he won't allow us to be tempted that we're able to bear. Jesus know what it's like to want that someone that love God and want to please God. He experienced all of that. He know what it's like when people is being little of you because you're a born-again believer, because you want to do right. He know what it's like when some leaders is going to mistreat you. And you got to submit to them based upon what the word say. You hear what I said? Based upon the word. Jesus experienced all of that, and he showed us by having the nature of God. And Peter said this. He said this in the first chapter, Peter. Now that we have the God divine nature on the inside of us, but y'all, we still have flesh on the outside. We still have an enemy that going to try to come in there, persuade us, and detract us. I mean, he ain't going to do it over time, overnight, but he gradually, and the enemy will seize every opportunity to try to get in there. I don't know about you, but when I'm really believing God and standing, here come all kind of crazy detractions. You ever been to church and the man or the woman of God then gave an awesome message or gave you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom? And the next thing, you know, here come all these detractions. Before you get out the church, good. Somebody might come up and say something to you. And right there, the enemy is coming. The Bible tells us in Mark 4, Matthew 13, the sower planted the seed, immediately come the weak one. Amen? But there, too, again, I want to read on. It's obey God because you, his children, don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. And like I said, most of the time when hard time comes, when suffering time comes, those are the times that some people will slip back and do things the way they used to do it. They'll start talking like they used to talk. If you ain't careful, if you ain't got some kind of control over yourself, you'll find yourself going back, hanging out with them people. You'll open your mouth and you'll begin to complain. Think about the children of Israel, even after God got them out of Egypt. Now, he got them out of Egypt. while Moses was up in the mountain with the Lord, the children of Israel, they started slipping back in some of their old ways because some of them had took on the ways of the Egyptians. They served idol gods and all of that. The Bible even talked about how they wanted Moses, wanted Aaron to carve them. And Aaron did it. And they said that was that idol god was the one. Look, they slipped right back into it. They had took on some Egyptian way. They were saying they brought us out of Egypt. And I'm telling you, if we don't, please hear me, if you don't stay steadfast in the word, and Jesus said, continue in my word, if we don't study this word, you can fall back into your evil habits. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you can do that. You'll find, you know, if you stay out of the word long enough, I have heard some people, you'll find yourself cursing, profanity, yes. You'll find yourself doing things. If you find yourself kind of slipping back and doing, that's a sign your spirit is weak and you need to repent and get in the word of God and start back meditating and praying and talking to the Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to keep reading. He said, don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself have said, you must be holy because I am holy. Holy is really living a consecrated life, a sanctified life set aside for the master's use, one that God is manifesting himself through to show the world how to love, show the world how to forgive, show the world how to experience and walk in the victory that God have made for you. You know, when I was coming up, they put holiness in the way you dress. They put it in whether you wore makeup or not. But a lot of times, they didn't deal, I would say, when I was growing up, it didn't seem like they would deal with what was on the inside. To me, they put more emphasis on what was on the outside and what you wore. In the book of Samuel, I think in 1 Samuel, maybe 2nd, if I'm not making a mistake, when God told the prophet to go to Jesse's house, he had found him a king to anoint. Okay, the prophet began to judge according to the outward appearance. And God even told the prophet, I don't see like man sees. I look at what's on the inside. That's why some people couldn't understand about David. Yes, David was a murderer and David committed adultery. But do you not know David, in David's heart, he loved God. He really wanted to please God, and God was patient with David. Come on, somebody. You see, God look at our heart. That's why Jesus said on one occasion, you said, Lord, Lord, but then, you know, he said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. God look at your heart. God look at your motives behind why you said and what you did, what you did. And God know that. And, you know, sometimes if you ain't careful, you can mislead people. Or better yet, you can deceive people. You know, I hear people say, you know, prophet, I met so-and-so, and we were doing this and we were doing that. But then when we got married, I seen the side of that person I never seen before. Well, where it was? It was there all the time in their heart. They just hid it well. They just kept it from you. Come on, somebody. That's what happened. They was like that the whole time. Come on. But the thing about suffering, the thing about hard times, it'll bring out what's in you. You want to know what's in a person? Wait till trouble hit and you will see it. Come on, somebody. But this is what he was talking about, living holy. So he himself have said, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray have no favors when he judges. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverence, fear of him during your time and for him on this earth. And see, there too again, like I said, a lot of times, if the reality ain't come to you about who God is, I mean, really, really see him for who he is. And one thing, the Holy Spirit, as a born again, he'll reveal to you God. He'll reveal to you God likes and God dislikes. And one of the things, we as born-again believers, we should hate sin like God hates sin. Amen? It said God have paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you had from your ancestor. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with his precious lifeblood of Christ. the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him for this purpose long before the world began. But now in these final days, he was sent to the earth for all to see, and he did this for you, and better yet, for you and me. And there, too, again, he come in to tell us about Christ, and I'm telling you, like I said, when it comes down to suffering, we need to know how to do it. Now, I'm going to go over in that second chapter, and I'm going to start in 1 Peter, the second chapter, look at the first verse. I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says, so get rid of all malice, behavior, and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow in the fullness of your salvation. See, there too again, he's talking about our behavior and talking about backstabbing and jealousy. See, that's the flesh. That's your flesh. And I'm telling you, we have to mature in the things of God. You can see some people in competition. You got some people, they like I said, they're in competition. You got some saints, they trying to mimic other people. There too, again, you got some saints, they one thing in the church, when they're in the church, in the presence, but once they get out of the presence of certain people, they act a different way. See, that's that flesh. Come on, somebody. Like I said, flesh have desire. In Galatians, it tells us, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap. Every time you and I or anybody, if we yield to our flesh desires, the more we do it, the stronger it gets. But the more we walk in the spirit and we do feed our spirit, man, the stronger it'll get. So when the opportunity time comes, testing of when people, guess what? Your spirit, man, will cause you not to yield to the flesh and your flesh desires. I hope you're getting this here. Okay, for time's sake. Now he said we need to crave for the spiritual. He come out the meat of the word. Come on, somebody. He was telling them that the King James said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have taste that the Lord is great. He was telling us how we must, the word of God will cause us to, it will strengthen us. It will cause us whenever trouble come or trials come or adversity come, in the time of testing, in the time of temptation. It'll tell us how to endure and how to overcome it. It will tell us how to conduct ourselves. Come on, somebody. When we're being persecuted, when we're being mistreated. And like I said, you know, if anybody could write about it, Peter could. Like I said, if you really just go study about Peter, Peter was some kind of character. He, like I said, he was outspoken. He said he thought he was better than some of the other disciples. And Peter would act before he think. Anybody ever been there? I think all of us got a little bit of Peter in us. Come on, somebody. But as we grow in knowledge and grace, well, guess what? Our spirit man gets so strong, we can be able to endure. So like I said, in this time, when it's time these candidates is going out and, you know, campaigning for being president, it's so much being said. You have some people, they blessing one and cursing the other. Now, I say this all the time as saints, as born-again believers, it's a certain lifestyle we're supposed to live. It's certain things we should say and certain things we shouldn't say. You know, when you start hearing saying, I hate this one, he told you to pray for him. God told me a long time, if you spend, and this was when I first got saved, he told me it was one president I didn't really care for. He came to be president, and the Lord told me, he said, if you was to pray for me as much as you want to criticize him, he might could do a better job. Then he showed me 1 Peter, the second chapter, about praying for him. And that's true. If we would just learn to pray for people as much as you want to be critical and complain about them, they could do better. Oh, I know you don't like this because anytime God give us something to talk about us, we don't want to hear it. But let me tell you something. If you're a lover of God and if you truly want to do right, you want truth. the truth and this word, the Bible, what makes set us free. Come on, somebody. And like I said, he's telling us how we supposed to conduct ourselves. Amen, somebody. And like I said, he would talk about being a holy life and all of this. He would tell us how we one time walk and how we supposed to be walking. He tell us that we're not supposed to act like the Gentiles and things. Okay, in 1 Peter, the second chapter, let's look at the 10th verse. I'm in the King James. It's which in time past, I'm in 1 Peter 2 and 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. He's telling them, that when we before we got saved, we were considered not peoples of God. But now that we saved, he said, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, attain from fleshly lust. There go again, which war against your soul, which is my mind, will, and my emotion. That my flesh desires, they going to war against my soul. Now, when I got saved, I got a new nature, but I didn't get a new soul. And that's why Paul said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy, which is acceptable before God. And then he said, do not be conformed to this world, but renew your mind. Well, we have to every day renew our mind with the word of God. When the opportunity presents itself, when we've been tested and tried, when temptation comes, when the temptation, you need to talk about so-and-so, a backbiting. If you need to reject, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I got to say what the word say. Yes, I have opportunities. Have you ever disagreed with those in authority? He even talked about how to deal with people in authority in that 13th verse. He talked about how you supposed to treat people that even not right, people in authority that's not right. He even talked about how you supposed to treat them people. And like I said, see, I find we can't pick and choose what we want to do in the Bible. As born-again believer, as Christian, we have to live by every word. That's what Jesus said when he was tempted of the devil. He was tempted in every aspect that we would be tempted in. But he didn't fail because he chose to say what God's word say. Yet Jesus, the Son of God, had all authority in his hand. But he knew at that time the devil was trying to get him to eat. He knew at that time he didn't supposed to eat. He was trying to get him to bow. Jesus know who he were. And the enemy was trying to get him, that want him to believe, I can give you everything you want. And he do us the same way. But do you not know, as a born-again believer, due to the finishing work of Christ, everything we need, and Peter said this in the prayer, we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. But it's through the knowledge. It's through coming into the knowledge of what Jesus did for you and I, and how we supposed to conduct ourselves in this fallen world. Y'all, this is a fallen world that we living in. It is. It's a fallen world. You hear about the murders every time you look around. I was in this conversation, and my daughter was sharing, and she was saying, you know, when I was a child, I didn't understand. I didn't know. I truly didn't understand what it meant to honor my parents. I didn't know what it was to honor my father, you know, because sometimes when you see people doing something contrary or your parents not living to up to your expectation, you feel like, well, I don't have to reverence them. I don't have to honor them. See, that's the spirit of lawlessness in the land now. You know, a lot of people, you know, if you don't live up to my expectation, what I consider honor is, or the way you're supposed to do that, well, guess what? I don't have to honor you. I don't have to abide by the laws. And I don't, you know, it's sad. It's sad. The enemy got people, and my son-in-law made this statement. It blessed me. He said, you know, I noticed this generation, as they get educated, they feel that they can go against the laws and principles of God. And, you know, that is so true. Oh, my time. Oh, running out. But it's so true. But we supposed to live by the Bible. That's what Jesus said when he said, man shall not live by brother-in-law, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. We living in a time now. People don't love truth. It's easy to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. I got to stop. But we're going to, if the Lord will, we're going to continue with this. Because I'm telling you, in the time of temptation, in the time of suffering, we as born-again believers, we need to know how to conduct ourselves. As evil continue to increase on earth, we got to still, God still required us to live a separated life, a holy life, a consecrated life. And we can do it because we have the grace. We have the strength to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for your word today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. I thank you for those that tuned in. I thank you as we go off the air, Father, I commit this people to the Holy Spirit that he will continue to bring enlightenment, understanding to the ones that have tuned in. And as they're getting your word, Father, and that one that feel like they can't live right, or they are backslid, you can come back to the Lord because of Jesus. You just need to repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you and get back. And get back in alignment with the Lord. So when he comes, you'll be able to go back with him. Again, this is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your day.